And so, dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So this weekend, we continue to talk about our stewardship, our response to God and His gifts to us. And as I was visiting with Pastor Snyder and Marty and their son Paul about 2 weeks ago, we were all talking about the various things happening in church. And I shared that one of my complaints and one of my worries is that I don't see people stepping up into the places where we have need. And then I always hear these worries about finances. Everybody's always concerned and worried about money. And Pastor Snyder told me, you know, somebody told me something a long time ago, and I think it's a helpful phrase. Money follows mission. And that phrase just kind of hit me like a truck. I've never heard of it like that, but it is so true. Money follows mission. I have a problem in that I can be very, very cynical. I can be very negative about things, and I get especially negative when it comes to things like charity. Because you look at the many charities out there, and what do they want? They all want your money, right? It seems very rare that we find a charity that's asking you to give of your own time and energy to serve people. They just want you to send a donation. But you know what? That simply just isn't how it works. Because money follows mission. You look at the history of the Red Cross, it started based off of the desire to help those who were hurting. You look at the history of the Goodwill, and Goodwill started based off of getting people who were fortunate to help and serve the less fortunate. And when the church started, it was to get the gospel out. It was to spread the news of Jesus Christ. It began with a love for the neighbor. All of these charities do. They all begin with the love for the neighbor. But often, charities do change into money makers. We have to classify them as nonprofits so that people can actually trust where their money is going. Because there is also evil even in these good charities, that there are even those charities that take advantage of people and steal their money. But you know, we can't let my cynicism get in the way. We can't let my negativity get in the way, because if we look out into the world, we notice that money makes things happen. You just simply have to have it. And many of these charities ask for money so that they can pay people to be employed full time, so that they can always be serving in these various charities. These charities ask for money, ask for donations, so that they can pay people to get the supplies out to people in need, because money in many places are needed to do that. The reality is that money does follow mission. People give because they are encouraged and inspired by this ministry to go and get those things out to people who are in need. They agree with the mission, and so they support the mission. Now, today we had some really long readings. We had this really long reading from 1 Chronicles, where David is giving a speech, and he is asking people to give for the construction of the temple. Chronicles is not really a book that we read all that often. It's not a book that we go to for inspiration by any means, but we find in Chronicles here an interesting speech from King David, where he's telling the people what he himself has given to the temple, what he is then asking them to give to the temple. And he can describe this mission in such a way so that they see that it is not for men that they are doing this, but for God. And because of this, the people, they give generously. They give very generously. Notice the response of the people, that it's not because of David's charisma. It's not because it's such a rousing speech that these people give. It is because of the mission. And he asks them to give to this mission, and they do. They respond willingly because it is done all for the Lord. And then diving into the prayer after that speech, look at David's response. It is one of glorious thanksgiving. He is so grateful to God and acknowledges, as we talked with the children this morning, that all things come from God. I love that phrase. What can I give to you? Everything comes from you. But notice in verse 17, David kind of says that this is really a test of the heart of man. Because God has no need for our money. He doesn't need our cash. He doesn't need them because they're already his. And this is what David is acknowledging in his prayer. But as we kind of move on with things, we see this temple is constructed. We see David eventually dies. And then Solomon becomes king and reigns as king. He is a wise king. He is a good king, but he does have a problem. He does construct the temple. He does lead Israel well, but he has many wives. And the problem with these wives is that they are foreign and bring in their foreign gods. Now, the problem with these women is not that they are women and it's not that they are foreign, but it's that Solomon allows these other gods to come into Israel. And we see that this is a huge problem. After Solomon's reign comes the reign of many other kings, and what do we see? But more and more and more, these gods start to, they themselves inhabit this temple that was constructed for God alone. And now this is for many gods from many different places. And it gets so bad that God punishes the people of Israel. And he brings them off into exile. And as these people are in sorrow for their loss, as they lament the loss of their beloved temple, as they are in exile in Babylon, probably dreaming of this temple, we notice that when they come back from exile, come back from this punishment, back to their holy land, their first priority is to rebuild this temple. The problem is this temple is no longer a place of dedication to God. This temple has become an idol for them. It has become such an idol for them because what we see is that when God comes and dwells among them, even when the temple before the exile, when God is there, they start to ignore him and go after other gods. And then when we fast forward many years after the reconstruction of the temple, we see that when God arrives in the flesh, when Jesus Christ himself is there, they ignore him. Not only do they ignore him, some even chastise him, and many others even hate him. This temple was supposed to be the place where they have dedicated themselves to God and where God has dedicated himself to them, where this wonderful relationship happens between God and man. And what happens is that they're simply unaware. But yet it's all according to plan in a very strange way. This temple to which they all dedicated their money, their gifts, and everything to is made irrelevant by God who has arrived, by the gift of Jesus. It's all part of the plan for this Jesus to be ignored, for this Jesus to be spited and even hated, because all of those things lead to him being crucified. And here with Christ on the cross, he becomes the most hated by all, as he himself becomes sin in our place. This Jesus is even hated by the Father, as he has taken on all evil and sin upon himself, and he dies. And it leaves us free. That burden of evil and sin has been removed from us because of this man, because of this God. But yet, any man can die. And what we celebrate during Easter is that we go along with those women in our readings to the tomb. And what we celebrate on that Easter is that we see those women find the tomb empty. Not only do they not find Jesus' lifeless corpse, they find nothing in that tomb. Jesus is not only alive, he has left death behind. And the truth is that because he lives, we will live too. That this is a gift that is given for all. It's not just right now. This is for all in the past. All of those people in Israel who went after other gods, that death was for them. All the people to come, like you and I, who are 2,000 years after the resurrection of Christ, this is for us. That through this wonderful gift, life goes for all time. And now this is our mission. See, for those people in Israel so long ago, the mission was the temple, and they gave willingly to that. And now things have changed, and our mission is this Jesus, and getting the message out to the nations. This is not just for you and me. This is not even just for those who believe. But this message is for all people, to lead them to God, to lead them to forgiveness, to lead them to new life, so that they might experience this forgiveness, this freedom. And this freedom that's so unreal and so powerful that it makes you want to get up on tables and shout it at everybody. It makes you want to bust down the doors of people's houses and tell them how loved and forgiven they are. I'm not recommending you do any breaking and entering or anything like that, but this is such a powerful and amazing and freeing message that we've got to get it out there. That this is our message. This is our mission, to share the love of God. And how do we do that? But by loving the neighbor. And you know, as many people in the church and in many other places worry about money and about things, remember this phrase, money follows mission. I spoke with a couple of other pastors. We had a circuit meeting a little bit ago, and one of the pastors said, you know, I've stopped talking about things in terms of success and failure. I've started talking about them in terms of what God blesses and what God does not want us to do. So if we try something and it doesn't work out like we planned, well, God didn't want that to happen. But if we try something and it works out, well, God blessed us to do that. And what I want to remind you is what the children already said. What are the blessings of God? And one of them that they said that I was very happy to hear was church. Where in 2 years, what are we going to celebrate at this congregation? Somebody tell me. 2 years, what are we celebrating? 150th anniversary. This church has existed for 148, but in 2 years we will be celebrating 150 years. What does that tell us? That tells us that God is blessing our mission, that God wants us here, that God wants us to be doing things. And this is the mission. And so what I want you to know is that this mission will happen, will continue to happen, because God has already blessed it, and God will continue to bless it. And while we do worry, we look at giving trends, we look at attendance trends, we look at all these different things, and there are all these worries about the future. But I will tell you this right now. God loves us. God loves the work that we are doing here, because God is supporting that ministry, because God is making it happen, and we can see this. And all of the things will follow, including money, to make this mission happen. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.